Oh, Miss Commode.
We had Mark Commode come in, and you should hear something now. And I was recording it, and I didn't have his microphone on for the whole thing. We did a 30-minute interview, and all you could hear was me going, "So, Mark, tell us about this film that you saw." And that was it, 30 minutes.
Oh, my.
We're recording you, Holly.
Good, I'm glad to hear it.
Holly Johnson is here in the studio with me. How are you doing, apart from being 20 minutes late?
Oh, I really can't believe that's true. I think you're making it up, Ian.
I saw someone going into Greg's the Baker's. I thought, is that Holly Johnson? No, it can't be. I'm sure he's very punctual. And you're in there looking at the soups and pasties.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't go for anything.
You didn't, did
no.
you?
No. I just wandered around.
What's your favourite product from Greg's?
Well, I like the malted tin loaf, actually. If I ever do buy anything from Greg's, it's the malted tin loaf, unsliced.
Unsliced, yes.
Absolutely.
I like the cheese and onion pasties. I think they're delicious.
Okay.
We might get sent some free stuff now. I've got to say, you don't look any different.
Don't I?
You're a very handsome young man.
Oh, that's very kind of you,
I was kind of expecting some slightly haggard, you know, aging pop star. But you look wonderful. Beautiful young face,
that's
great
very
hair.
Kind.
You look, how do you do it? Do you have some kind of fitness? Do you moisturise?
I do all of those things to try and hold back the years.
I do that, but it has no effect. I'm still looking old and haggard.
Well, having a shave helps.
Yeah. I wasn't going to have a shave for you, Holly.
It's exfoliating.
Yes, yes. I do like a bit of exfoliation.
Yeah.
It's quite nice. What's your top tip for looking young? We come bring that in. Thank you very much. There's your coffee.
Not taking life or yourself too seriously, perhaps.
That is the way. Thank you very much for that. That's you can drink that as well, don't worry.
Thank you.
That is possibly something to do with it. Because I've kind of... You were on some TV show the other day you popped up on. Was it one of those talking heads? Were you on that top 100 toys?
I was.
Then you were, weren't
for
you?
For my sins.
I did that nonsense as well.
Oh, did you? Well, I hadn't done one of those for ages.
Yeah.
And it was very strange, but I quite enjoyed it.
What were you talking about?
I had my teddy bear collection.
That was it.
My Capsule Stife teddy bear collection.
Capsule Stife? What's that?
Well, no, Stife is the original German button in ear or... Knopf im Ohr.
He's gone mad. The breakdown has started.
Teddy. Yeah. They invented the teddy bear.
Wow. And you got a collection?
A small collection. Okay. And none of them are antiques or anything like that. They're just quirky, you know.
This is the first one of those I've done in ages, those shows. Because the thing is, if you do one of those shows, then it's on all the time. And everyone goes, oh, you think you know about the 80s. And you know,
it's like a media whore immediately, isn't it? Just because you do one programme that they still haven't paid me for.
It's 250 quid, I think, isn't it?
Well,
or did you get
should,
more?
You should. Oh, yeah, I got double that.
Did you? Oh, man alive! I was totally robbed. Thank you. Should we do... Well, listen, we will do the business. There's a reason you're here. It's not just to talk about teddies and being a media whore like myself. The Blast... is the solo... What year was this originally released?
It was released in 1989.
Jesus, I'm sorry.
And it followed a Love Train and Americanos, which were the first two singles.
And they were big hits,
They were big hits.
Number ones?
I don't think they were number ones in the UK, but they were certainly top five.
Yeah.
But Blast debuted at number one
and
went platinum and sold like 350,000 copies in the first week.
Jeez.
Which you just don't hear of
That's
now.
That's amazing.
On vinyl.
And it's come out in a gorgeous, two CDs and a DVD.
Isn't it fantastic?
It's beautifully done. Someone's put a lot of time and effort into this.
That's Mr. Barney Ashton from Cherry Red Records.
How does this something like this happen? Do you go to them and say, look, I think it's about time that we put this out again with some extra tracks, or do they approach you, or what's the deal?
Well, it's a bit complicated. It's actually part of the Universal / Island label. Inherited it from a label called MCA that I was on in the 80s. And it was sort of lost in their archives. And... when Frankie Say Greatest came out about 18 months ago, I persuaded them, with the use of blackmail, actually, to reissue it. And as it's not their forte, they approached Cherry Red and Strike Force Entertainment, and it's their speciality.
Right.
And that's why it's this beautiful deluxe edition.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
With 1,600 words of my sleeve notes, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, I have got the booklet in there. I have got the booklet in there. There's a lot of 12-inch remixes. Is that your phone? Have you learnt nothing, man? For goodness sake, you've been in business for years enough.
No, my phone didn't ring, but an email pinged. I heard the ping.
See, I thought that was my phone, and I took my phone out of my pocket. I thought, no, mine's turned off. That must be Johnson.
I've just switched the ping off.
Have you? Good for you. There's a lot of 12-inch, a few 12-inch remixes.
Yes, perhaps too many. But for the completest,
yes.
It's, definitely an interesting artifact.
No, and I'm sure, and there's some good people that have done it, like Frankie Knuckles and things like that. I remember there was a time when people would just bring out a 12-inch single just because they could, and it would have. I remember buying. I'm going to say it, Jason Donovan, Too Many Broken Hearts.
Oh,
on 12-inch. I quite like Jason.
I like Jason. I've got. And in fact, his label,
yeah.
PWL, there is a PWL mix of Americanos.
Oh, there is as well. Yes. There is. But I remember having a huge argument with my friends at school saying, Kylie Minogue will never last. Jason Donovan is a true pop star and will be here forever. Boy, did I back the wrong horse there.
Well, Mr. Donovan has lasted in his own way,
yeah.
As a different sort
You're
of,
right.
Face of popular culture.
And a lovely chap as well.
Yes.
Isn't he the nicest chap?
Indeed.
But I remember that you would get 12-inch singles and they would just shove an instrumental bit in the middle or some horrible dancey kind of bit. I mean, there were some brilliant ones, and I'm sure the ones on here are excellent, but there were some stinkers. The 12-inch remix was a weird phenomenon of the 80s, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I think, actually, Frankie Goes to Hollywood invented it.
That was your fault, was it?
Yeah, with multiple 12-inch mixes
for
each single, which had never really happened before. You got one at the very most for a disco track, usually, and I think we were the first band to use it to extend the life of the record by releasing mix after mix after mix.
How did Blast come about? Because if I'm honest, I like you. I don't know your history very well. So I don't quite know when Frankie kind of finished and then you decided to go solo. What was the decision to do that?
What was the decision? Oh, well, there were many factors.
Okay.
In
the,
my
Give me
the decision
top three factors.
To leave.
Did you all fall out and hate each other?
There was an element of that.
Was there?
There was an element of that. But that was mainly because I felt the record company were using a divide and rule strategy in the way they handled us.
Really?
Yes, I do believe that to be true,
in
my opinion.
Yeah.
And, there were other factors, a breakdown in my relationship with the record company and my belief that the contract was unfair that we had with them. And what was the other factor? The other factor is that the second album, Liverpool, which moved into a more rock direction...
Mm.
Which, strangely enough, is being also reissued this month in a deluxe edition by a different record label.
Do you get any money for that?
Well, I'm not going to discuss money
here. Okay. I see. Let's leave that for the lawyers.
That moved into a direction that I felt I didn't want to go in or too far in.
Yeah.
And, I did the last tour and people loved the kind of dance rock hybrid of Welcome to the Pleasure Dome tracks and found the darker, rockier side a bit hard to swallow. And I wasn't feeling it any longer. So I left in 1987, April, and started writing Blast, which is a much poppier dance rock hybrid again. It's got great guitarists, including Brian May plays on Love Train.
Really?
And on three tracks, a wonderful guitarist called Vinnie Riley, who has his own band called the Dorothy Column, which were a Factory Records band. He plays on some tracks. And, there's some interesting musicians on there.
Yeah.
And it took me 2 years, in actual fact, because the record company took me to court, put an injunction on me,
oh,
and
man,
I had to break free from the unfair recording agreement. And but finally, this was my sort of vindication, really, when it came out with... three hit singles and went to number one in the first week.
Well, you say it sold, you know, shed loads. And I remember Americanos. How would you pronounce
Americanos, it? Americanos, I suppose, if you're being authentic.
Yes, which we strive for. I remember that being just like a huge hit. Was it in the summer? I seem to remember it being a summer.
It was a very summery, spring, summer.
Yeah.
It was a hit. And, you know, as the Berlin Wall fell, Americanos was being played.
Blue jeans and chinos.
In Germany, Spain, France, wherever you were on holiday, yeah. It was very much the soundtrack of that summer.
Did you make it big in the States? Were you big in America at all?
Frankie had a cult following,
right,
in places like New York and LA,
yeah,
and San Francisco and Boston, you know, the sort of trendier, more aware,
yeah,
places. But it wasn't, you know, and the videos were on high rotation on MTV,
yeah,
so people knew me and knew the band, but it wasn't like Tupperware, you know, it didn't sell bucket loads in the,
yeah,
same way as it did in the UK.
Because I never thought, because I know like things like Duran Duran did really well and stuff, but I thought with
well,
the videos...
Well, there you go, Tupperware.
Exactly.
Sells. Tupperware with highlights and a tan.
That's where you went wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right, you know, and I would have thought with your videos, I think I mentioned this to you before, but the video for Two Tribes, what year was that came out? 85?
Actually, 1984.
Was it?
It was directed by Godley and Cream.
Really?
Yes. They were excellent video directors,
yeah, yeah,
of that era.
Yeah. I was 11 when that came out. It scared the shit out of me. It was terrifying. Because I was afraid... That was the era when we were going to have a nuclear war. There was definitely going to be a nuclear war.
It was in the... I mean, it was actually written during the Argentine,
right,
fracas,
yeah,
that Margaret Thatcher led us into.
Yes.
And there was a whole paranoia with people of my generation that it could trigger something or we'd be drafted into,
yeah,
the army. And it was actually written at that time. And the Cold War was, you know, a reality.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, a movie we watch now.
Yeah.
Or there was this tension between the USSR and the USA.
Did you ever see Threads? The film about what if a nuclear bomb was dropped on Sheffield?
Oh, no, that would,
Jesus,
that would
terrifying.
Be awful.
It's
no Human League.
Oh, not so bad then.
No Full Monty.
In that case, maybe they should have done that. Do you? I mean, are you still performing now? Do you still do gigs and go and do stuff? Or is that beyond you and past you now?
Well, I haven't done it for a while.
Yeah.
But there is a performance in the diary that I don't know how they've persuaded me to do it, but I'm doing one of those festivals in the summer.
One of those festivals.
One of
I've
those
heard
festival
of those, I've heard
things.
Of those things,
those,
yes,
pop festivals.
Yeah, people go and sit in a field and look at singers.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's in Henley-on-Thames.
Oh, very refined.
Yes.
There'll be no one slinging mud and taking bad
it's
acid.
It's a more refined festival, and I'm headlining on the Saturday night.
You and sound surprised.
Well, I just don't know how they've managed to secure my services.
By paying you a shedload of money, Holly. That's how. They wrote you a big fat cheque.
Well, you'll have to ask my manager that. I know nothing.
Did you? When was the last time you did a gig then? Has it been a while?
An actual live gig? It's been a very,
really,
long time.
Because you strike me as a natural performer, as though that would be your home.
Well, actually, television is my home.
Right.
I like to perform on television. I seem to be, you know, quite good at it.
Yeah.
You know, I seem to know what's going on and,
yeah,
where the camera is, and you get to reach so many more people.
Yeah.
But, you know, why not?
Well, this is wonderful. I'm coming just in case it is possibly a car crash. I'm sure it won't be. I'm being,
oh,
it'll be brilliant. It will be brilliant because you've got such stage presence. I always thought that when you see you, but you know, you were.
And even if it is a car crash, they still have to pay me.
But you know, you were one of the, when I told my sister, who was big into Frankie because she was a few years older than me, I told her yesterday that you were coming in, and she got all very excited, and she said, you know, he was one of the defining pop stars. And I kind of forgot about the whole,
I was the 80s.
You were the 80s. So, you know, we need to look after you and treat you with respect.
Oh, absolutely.
But what was that like? Because Frankie was massive. Massive.
Yeah, it was. It was a real goldfish bowl situation, actually. It was a pop phenomenon.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these things, the first three singles going to number one. Yeah. During the summer, while Two Tribes was number one, Relax came back into the charts and was in the number two position, you know, which hadn't been heard of since, you know, John Lennon had died or something ridiculous. And there was the T-shirt, and it happened so quickly and so intensely that it was really hard to come out of it unscathed, actually. It was
Yeah, I bet
madness.
It was kind of damaging.
It was madness, absolutely.
How do you think it affected you?
Well, you know, I had been around for a while in bands. Yeah. You know, I'd been in a sort of new wave band in 1976 when I was, you know, about 12.
Yeah. And, well done.
You know, with people like Ian Brodie from the Lightning Seeds and Bill Drummond from KLF.
Yeah.
You know, that was my learning or apprenticeship period. And Budgie, the drummer from Susie and the Banshees on drums.
Yeah.
So I'd been around a while and I was just about to, you know, jack music in, and then this sort of conceptual band that I'd put together sort of erupted and ejaculated all over the nation unexpectedly. And there you go.
There's a rumour that Relax is about gay sex. Is that true?
Well, I think it's about positive motivation and sex of all natures, not necessarily gay sex.
Okay.
The gay thing, of course, is associated with me because I was openly gay.
Yeah. Again, people don't realise that was quite controversial.
That was majorly controversial.
In the day.
In the time when Mark Almond, Boy George, George Michael, and a few others who shall be nameless,
because they've not come out yet,
had not come out. oh, Neil Tennant hadn't come out.
Wow.
You know, it was a bit of a either folly or brave move, depending on how you look at it. Even Elton John wasn't out the closet.
He got married, didn't he?
To a woman called Renata.
Renata, yes, those were the days. It does seem amazing now. Gay pop stars, it's the norm these days, you know. But it was very controversial. Who came up with the idea for the T-shirts?
The T-shirts were taken. The basic format was taken from the Choose Life Catherine Hamnett T-shirts by a record company employee, and who couldn't give them away. Actually, to members of the industry, you know, the media. And we said, oh, we're going on tour. We need a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Here's 150 quid for the idea.
Fantastic.
And we lived off those T-shirts for quite a while. That kept us going.
Okay, so listen, Blast is out now, I think. It's
Blast Deluxe Edition is out now.
He's
on
good.
Cherry Red.
And you've got another couple of solo albums coming out.
Yes, I've got Dreams That Money Can't Buy, which was the follow-up to Blast.
Any good?
Well, it's my Lost Electro album, which is excellent, actually. I played it recently. And just for the saxophone solo by Courtney Pine on a track called Penny Arcade, it's worth the entrance fee.
Right.
It is a sublime moment.
Yeah.
And then after that comes Soulstream, which is a solo album I made at the end of the 1990s. It's sort of a millennium moment for me.
Are you going to do any more recording? Is that on the cards?
Oh, it is. I've been writing new material, but really, I have to wait until all these reissues have sort of cleared out of the way, because you can't compete with nostalgia.
No, of course.
And, you know, I've got this particular special history that I can't compete with in the modern age. Mm. So when this is out the way, I'll release some new material.
You're on Twitter. This is how we got in touch, because I was tweeting some nonsense and you sent me a message.
What Went Pete Tong was actually the message I sent.
And I thought, why is someone pretending to be Holly Johnson? That's a ridiculous thing to do. Could you get everybody pretends to be somebody on there? But it did turn out it but was
I'm
you.
The Holly Johnson on Twitter, makes... so that makes it real.
You need to get a little tick. You can get it verified by a little tick.
I've applied for the tick years ago, but I just don't know. My tick is lost in the post, I think.
What is it? And it's so you're at the Holly Johnson. That if
I'm
people
at
want
the
to,
Holly Johnson,
and
on
you do
Twitter.
nice jolly tweets and little YouTube clips that you found and things.
All the time.
It's all rather jolly.
I'm a secret super jolly tweeter.
Do you get much abuse on there? Because I get so many arseholes.
Oh, well, I get very little abuse, right. And I'm very block friendly. At the sniff of any abuse, I will block them.
That's what I need. I get into dialogue with these people.
Oh no, it's really not worth it. Mm. They are the haters are not worth engaging in. The lovers, then engage with them.
Oh, I love you, Holly Johnson. You're as nice as I was hoping you were going to be. Sometimes you think you get these pop stars and they're a little bit sour and a little bit... But you're delightful.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm sure that means a lot to you, and that you'll take that home with you and you'll be very happy.
Oh, I will.
Blast Deluxe Expanded Edition. Holly Johnson is out on Cherry Red Records. Do you know the date? You won't know. I'm asking the wrong person. The date of your Henley gig. Of course you don't know it.
It's August the something on Saturday.
Well, if you're free on August the something on a Saturday and you want to go and see Holly do a... You should go on tour. Seriously, get a band together and go and do a nice little tour.
I might do that. I really might.
If you do, come in and do a little session for us.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Seriously. Or if you have a guitarist friend or you've got a tape you want to sing to, come in one day.
I've got several guitarist friends.
Come in and do a session for us.
That'd be lovely.
We put it on the website and it'd be a treat. Holly Johnson, lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you, Ian.
And yes, best of luck. And you're off to see Jules Holland now, eh?
I am. I'm going to sing with Jules and his band.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, it is,
yeah,
actually.
Very exciting.
I'm really quite stoked, I think is the word.
You're so hip. All right, Holly, nice to talk to you.
Cheers, Ian.